Yeah, and that's recorded.
Good.
Okay.
So, and then I've also got some quick education. So here we are on August the 17th. And
so we're going to call the meeting to order at 8:36. Roll call. Looks like the only one that's absent is Jimmy.
Staff present would be Jim Protiva and Judy Mayhew.
Okay, has everybody had a chance to read the minutes from the last meeting?
Yes, the last two meetings.
Our last two meetings, thank you.
Yeah, and the reason you have minutes from the last two meetings is because due to some unfortunate circumstances, we were not able to produce a June 15th minutes in time for last meeting, and we discussed that, and so before you is the June 15th, 2011, and the July 20th, 2011.
Okay, let's start with the 15th of June. Is there any additions, corrections?
Mm-hmm. Move to approve.
Okay, it's been moved.
Second.
And second.
Nancy moved and Susan seconded.
Let's look at July 20th. Any corrections or additions? Motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Susan moved and Roger seconded.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. And the reason I call your names out is because when Judy's back in her office next week typing these up, she may not be able to pick off your voices. And so then she calls me and says, now, who is this? And I appreciate that. So I'm going to try to do a better job of just calling that out for her.
Well, you know what she's saying. She's going, who's that whispering?
Right.
Okay, concerns from the citizens. We don't have any citizens in the room at this time other than the advisory board. Report of the director.
Oh, well, I have several things to report on. The good news is we have been very active with the Parks and Rec as of late. So I'll just give you a list of some of the good things that have been happening that you may or may not be aware of. One is we held a very successful seahorse swim meet at the municipal pool, and that's the swim team that puts that on and lots of volunteers, but we obviously provide the facility for that to happen, and it's my understanding that this year was a great success. Also, we host a quilt show here at the Rec Center, and again, a volunteer group puts that on, but we're the facility, and there's lots of work on our end that takes place, but hugely successful. I have not heard the exact attendance number, but they expanded their program, and all of the discussions I've had with that group have been exceedingly positive, and they love to have their event here at the Rec Center. Partially because it's warm and inviting, but largely because it's so clean, and they feel like coming here is just a safe and wonderful place for them to display their works of art, and I get the sense that they didn't have that same feeling at the fairgrounds. So we're happy to have them here, and they obviously rent our facility, so we're happy to work with them on that too.
Do you get complaints about parking?
I do.
So you get the farmers market and the quilt show and people coming to use the facility. Is that an issue?
Yes, we parking is an issue, in my opinion, all over town. It's not a problem, it's just an issue. And why I say it's not a problem is because within a short walk, we have plenty of parking available in all of our districts and all of our centers and all of our places. There is parking close by. But the complaints and things I get is that the parking lot's full. And I've seen it time and time again where people come and they get the closest parking spot so they can come in and walk around the track for miles and miles. So
guilty.
Yeah, so I think that's just a cultural thing. But if you look on the collector streets and some of the parking lot over at Power we use, and there is parking nearby. As far as Herbert and 9th Street, there's a big public parking lot down there. Mm-hmm. And all our collector streets and stuff. So, I've heard discussion about parking, and there's a parking district in several of our places in town, but the Performing Arts Center doesn't have enough parking. And I would suggest that the Performing Arts Center only doesn't have enough parking when they have a major performance.
That's right, I agree.
And again, there's parking close by. In other cities and other locations, they have huge parking problems where you can't get close to an event, you know, within 10 city blocks. In our city, the way our structure is, if you went 10 city blocks in any direction, excepting the west, you would find some place to park.
Oh, yeah.
So our education or our acceptance of what a
Agreed.
Fair distance to walk is pretty short, just because we're pretty spoiled. So
for the benefit of people who come from out of town, maybe when they have something like a quilt show, perhaps their information could print up something that showed our parking lots, just so that when people got here, they knew if they couldn't find it here, they didn't have to go that far. Because if you're out of town, you have no idea.
Exactly. And they put up some parking signs. And we've done some arrows and things like that to help with things like farmers market and such. The good news about farmers market is the bulk of those folks are from around here or repeat customers, so they figure out how to.
I've just been, you know, to events where if you're a participant, especially they put in just a photocopy, you know, piece of paper that shows random parking lots in the area. It's helpful.
Yeah, good. moving down my list, the municipal pool will be shut down for a week and a couple of days. We do this every year. Fortunately, this year we will do what we call a short shutdown, which is we'll drain the pool and do the maintenance that we require to do on that. We will not be painting the pool this year. If we were to paint the pool, we have to drain it, dry it, paint it, let the paint dry, and then refill it. That's a 3 or 4 week process in some cases. This time we'll just be down just for a week and a couple of days, and that will start the weekend of Labor Day and go through the following next week. I should have had a calendar in front of me, but I don't. Mm-hmm. But that's the timeline, mm-hmm. And they'll be doing a big press release to make sure everybody is aware that we're doing that. We do it every year, and so a lot of the customers that are our patrons that go there all the time are aware of it, and we put a sign up at the pool, which is where we hit the bulk of them. But it's still good to let the greater community know, so we'll do a press release on all that. Next, staff is looking into the requirements of becoming a Tree City USA. I believe that was actually a council directive, and so between the planning department and the parks and rec department, we're going to research out what the requirements are. And I'll just share with you the preliminary discussions were of concern, because in our windy environment, it might be difficult to find the exact places to place trees other than shore pines and guarantee success. And the reason I say that, and I look out the window, if we choose the wrong kind of trees, we'll end up with that kind of look. And I don't know if you can see that tree, but that's the perfect example of a beautiful tree in the wrong climate. And so when I say the wrong climate, if you look at all of our trees, and we've replaced a lot of them, I suspect that the landscape architect who did the design for this building was sitting in a Portland office looking out his window or looking in his books and says, oh, well, this would look good around this, and this looks good, and this looks good. But unless you have some experience in our harsh environment, you'll fail miserably if you choose the wrong kind of trees. Just because we have wind tunnels and we have just a harsher, windier, brutaler environment that just doesn't support the ornamental trees and the colorful, pretty stuff.
So there are dwarf varieties. There are things that have been grafted on other types of stuff. Which would give you all the beauty of the original, but you don't get that height. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the thing too.
So yeah. What does the designation mean exactly, Jim?
Well,
I've seen signs in other places about it, but I don't really
Toledo.
Know what it means.
Toledo. Toledo is Tree City, USA.
Many cities have become Tree City USAs, and what that is a citywide commitment to plant trees.
Okay.
So you'll put on a specific date, you'll do a community event, and everybody will show up with shovels and trees, and they'll plant, in some cases, hundreds of trees around town. Typically, they go in on Main Street or the main drag through town. And then every year you have to have a celebration of trees and continue to plant trees. And
who,
so it's a
who administers the program? Is it a government thing or is it a
I believe
Arbor
it's
Day
Tree,
Foundation?
Tree City USA. And so I don't know exactly who
is
the
it a nonprofit. Or we don't know. I'm just curious.
Yeah. I'll report more on that as we get further down.
Would they be involved at all?
It sounds like
it's
the Arbor.
Probably
yeah.
is.
Well,
it's interesting that one of the side effects of the no logging and spotted owl area, which everybody got a positive side effect, is since those trees were not cut and everything, Oregon has reduced by 50% its carbon footprint.
Yeah.
Because there's still more trees, which doesn't mean we need to condemn those ideas, but it means if we plant more, when we take down, we need to plant more.
Yes.
To keep our carbon footprint down. So mm-hmm. I like the idea.
Well, I'm a tree hugger from way back, so
good.
Trees are good in my book. Trees City USA sounds good.
Yeah, good. So we're looking into it.
Good.
The other thing is we started a brand new program at the pool, and it's called Aqua Zumba. And so it's just a new spin on the very popular Zumba movement right now, and so we're doing that at the pool. And then lastly, under my report, I'd just like to give some kudos to the parks maintenance guys. I don't talk about them too much because their business is fairly routine, meaning they get in patterns and schedules, and you know they make sure things are mowed down and trimmed up and whatnot. But yesterday, they were tasked with cleaning up 101 from the bridge all the way to 20th Street. And I actually went out and helped them, because when I talk about the parks maintenance crews, I'm talking about two guys. And so I went out with Jim and Jerry yesterday, put on my jeans, and we started at the bridge and went all the way up. We made it as far as Herbert Street, crossed the street, went all the way back down to the bridge with Jerry ran a spin trimmer, and it's just a weed whacker. He went along and whacked all the weeds in the curb line between the sidewalk and the street there, and which they do overtake. Notice on your way home, there it's everywhere except for between 101 on the 101 there. And so, because Jerry went down and weed whacked everything, Jim came along behind with a blower and blew it all out into the street, which then we'll get the street sweeper comes along and collects it. And then I came back with a flamethrower, and so everything they missed, I burnt.
You just wanted to play with a flamethrower.
I did. Yeah. I do. It's the truth. I was mildly disappointed because my personal flamethrower, which I use at my house, was significantly better than our shops, and I'm going to look into getting...
Please don't let my husband know there's something that's called a personal flamethrower. Well,
I would suggest that Harbor Freight is where that would come from.
Christmas is coming.
And Christmas is coming. You hook it up to a propane tank, and it's really impressive.
I'll bet.
The reason... you need to understand this, though, and this is the sadness, not sadness, this is the reality, is that it took three guys a combination of 12 hours to go and remove that unwanted vegetation, where if we would have done a different method, right or wrong, it would have taken less than an hour.
Yeah.
A backpack sprayer and one guy could have had that all wiped out. So that's the real consequence of going chemical-free, which I'll talk about under old business.
Yeah, they were out there this morning.
Good. They're finishing up.
They're right in the middle of town.
Good.
I will say this. I just came back from a trip down into California, and a couple of cities, they look like third world cities now. They have cut back so much. I mean, weeds growing out of the center of the street, curbs. This citizenry is just, oh, well, they're not doing anything. And here we're, regardless, are trying to do something to keep our beautification up. So kudos to our city for trying. But I stopped counting how many cities I was so disappointed in. Welcome to the beautiful city. You can run there.
2 years ago, I was down in L.A. on the freeway, stuck in gridlock. And, you know, here are these great big weeds growing up out of the cracks and the pavement and things like that. Where the cars go, of course, it's plenty, but right over here on the side, all this stuff. And, you know, we will actually do anything if it's allowed.
And lastly, under my report, I want to talk a little bit about Adopt-A-Park. And I may have mentioned it last month, but I accelerated our concept and spoke with City Council on Monday at their work session, and I presented the same information that you're seeing here, and I suggested that we can formalize an opportunity to have citizens help out in our park maintenance and doing some good things there. And so this is what I provided them. I didn't get a sense that there was any comment, any concerns with this. This seemed to be the right and good thing to go. I don't know exactly when council will adopt this, and I don't even know if it has to be adopted by council, but it's in their hands. And from my perspective, until I get a clear direction otherwise, we're going forward with an Adopt-A-Park program. Okay. And I don't want to spill the beans on the particulars of it, but I have I met with a citizen since that time, and she has a group that's very interested in adopting a piece of city property under the guise of park, and they want to put substantial resources and thought into this piece of property and do a forest management plan for it, organize ivy pulls, and do some really progressive and good things for that piece of property, and we haven't gone further, so I don't want to say too much. But they're looking very closely at a piece of property around or behind the pool, and doing some good stuff over there. So I've discussed it, and they're excited, and they will actually come before council in the future with the concept and with what they're with what they're hoping to accomplish, and that's a good thing. This is all good stuff. I suggested that their wants and intentions would fit nicely under the Adopt-A-Park program, so the timing seemed really good. So more to come on that.
And there'll be training for volunteers who sign up to Adopt-A-Park. Yes. Or some kind of.
There will be some type of initial meeting where we get together and lay out the expectations, or what our expectations are and their expectations are, and then and that's kind of what some of this does in terms of, okay. You know, who are the players and what are they committing to, and what's the understanding.
I just would hate for an Adopt-A-Park group to come in and, you know, I don't know, mow under a ball field because they want to plant vegetables or something.
Right.
Like, we can't do something that's inconsistent with the.
Well, we will have a on-site meeting and be very clear on what.
Okay.
Zucchinis.
What we can and can't do.
Love zucchinis, but not in the middle of the ball field.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's
baseball bats.
Baseball bats. Throwing bats.
That is all that I have at this time.
Thank you.
Okay. New business.
Well, this is going to be new to you because I have not talked at any length about it to you. But if you're someone who is newspaper savvy and explored all the issues regarding the last school bond that passed. There was a small portion of that bond which provided for artificial turf on the infield of the ball field where the baseball team of Newport High plays. Well, it just so happens that the baseball team plays at Frank Wade Park. So the school district, through a series of intergovernmental agreements and construction easements and a legal document that's at least 7 pages long, have agreed that the city is going to allow them at their expense to install a artificial infield at the Frank Wade ball field. And they're also doing many other types of ball fields in both in Waldport, Toledo, and at the high school here. But our corner of that funding is that they're going to improve Frank Wade Park. And so I just want to make you aware of that, because I think it's a good thing. The city / citizens will receive a benefit, and they're reaching out further than just their own property. And that, I think, to me, shows a great collaborative partnership. And that's all that I have for you under...
Okay. Whole business?
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about our herbicide use policy. And if you don't have a copy of that handy, I would like to pass that out again. I met with City Council on Monday at a work session. They took no action. And we discussed the herbicide use policy that this advisory board has been talking about and working on. And it's the same policy that we looked at last month. And I thought it was going to go through swimmingly. And two citizens showed up at that meeting and had other ideas. I think the concept and our practice, which, by the way, we do not use herbicides. We haven't used herbicides at any level in over 6 weeks now, and we don't have any plans to use herbicides. So I felt like their discussion was more on how the policy was written, and they were, in my opinion, dissatisfied with some of the language, which did not indicate as strict of a policy as they would have preferred. So, Sandy, you were there. Did you get an idea on?
Well, it's what you practice. In other words, what you do wasn't stated as clearly in the policy itself. That makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it was more of a fine-tuning or wordsmithing to do what mm-hmm. you actually do in the city.
So if it meets with everybody's approval, I will try to tighten this up a little bit and put some stricter guidelines or some stricter verbiage into that. It will not drastically change what the work that this committee did and Nancy put together. It will just make it a little bit tighter, and it's not going to change what we're doing because we're not really using anything. We're not using anything. Got to be very clear. So that's kind of what we've come to, and so I just wanted to let you know that. That's what occurred.
Why don't we have a motion? Why don't we have a motion to allow Jim to do that so we show unity?
Oh, so moved. That Jim should edit the draft herbicide use policy to reflect the concerns of the citizens, but to continue to maintain the intent of this document.
Sure.
Two seconds.
Nancy moved, Roger and Susan seconded.
That's right.
And I know right now I will definitely put specific language in there that clearly states that we will never, or unless, specific language that addresses no spraying anywhere near children's play areas. So I know that was a large concern that we heard over and over again, and for whatever reason we didn't get that exact verbiage in there, and that was something that was a misstep perhaps on my part.
This is
comment. Go ahead.
Well, I never know as my role here what, I'm only to be a listener, but as I listen to both meetings and listen to the citizen input, if in the Department of Parks and Rec, if this in your wordsmithing, this particular paragraph be rephrased to one sentence and a listing.
The permanent product list, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
That was quite a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, we looked at a lot of different policies, and it was stated that there would be some, if there was some usage, that those would be acceptable.
Yeah,
so
yeah, perhaps in an addendum file and something.
Just as long as we don't back the city into a corner, and if there is an emergency, we waste precious time to control an infestation by getting all this reevaluated. So, you know, we need to meet their concerns, which is, to me, just wordsmithing. Everything's right in the policy.
Well, during the last, when we discussed it before, we had sort of qualified it with at this time.
Right.
They sure beat us up over that word, too.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Okay.
That was not.
That was,
well, you know, one possibility is that there could be a chemical that comes along that's actually more environmentally benign than the things that are on this list.
Right.
And it would prevent us from adding even something like that to the list, it seems
right
to me, if
and
we're too strict about it.
Off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And to take, you know, I think nobody would object if we
took things off.
But if new information comes to light about a chemical, I think it's good for us to be able to be reactive to that.
Right.
And there are aggressive invasive species like kudzu, I think it is, that's so bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that shows up in the county, you want to just nuke it. You know, you don't want it to get started. So you have to have an opening that you can use something.
Yeah. And lifting from Walport, they have, the city will use a chemical herbicide product as a last resort, no particular kind of system. And then if it's used for the site, the weed pest application must be approved by you before the herbicide is applied. So that gives what you were saying, this opening that allows the city to do that, but it rests solely on the final decision if it's to do.
Sure.
What they're trying to do, in my opinion, I'm no attorney, but what they're trying to do is change state law city by city. And it's not going to happen because it has to go to the whole state. And that's why you find so many policies as per state law allows, we will follow the guidelines. So you're covered by state law and you're covered by what you want. You can make it a little stronger, but you never want to back yourself into a corner. Whereas when the emergency happens, or like you said, all of a sudden, just like this isn't weeds, but the zebra mussel, it's showing up all over the place, and they're having to act now to get rid of it, or it's going to just destroy our whole marine ecology. So we need to have that capability.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to give the city, so that they're not painted into a corner.
But again, I'll just say, we are not using herbicides.
Right.
And that's the important thing. The rest, this is just wordsmithing and
see, giving
some
way
level.
To get it in a way that, you know.
Right.
In terms of process, this went to the work session, but not to the...
Yeah, there was no action taken on it.
There was no action taken,
yeah,
so it didn't go to the city council.
More discussion, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Jim, let me know if I can help. I mean, I drafted this, and I'm happy to help with any further additions. You seem to have a handle on what needs to be done, but if there's anything you want to hand off to me, let me know.
I thought we did a good job. Okay. And the doctors and the policy writers of the world picked it apart, and that's fine.
Well, you know, some people would
only
make
their job.
Pesticides 100% for any reason, and they don't really think about the consequences.
Sure. And, you know, just thank you for saying that. One of the things that I'm grappling with is if we say no chemical use, and then the same people would turn around and suggest to you that you should use vinegar. But if you talk with a lot of people, they'd say, well, vinegar's a chemical. So I'm really in a quandary. We're not using vinegar either at this time.
It's just a quality of words.
It is.
You can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. Yeah. But we have to think of the city as a whole, what will give it the ammunition it needs take care of the problem if it ever happens. Okay, moving on to other.
Well, under other, I have two things. One is that we currently have two openings on the senior advisory committee. The senior center has their own committee just like this, and a gentleman by the name of Lefty Lavrakis passed, and he was a great man and hysterical, actually, very funny, and so that created a vacancy, and then another gentleman has elected to move to Texas. Apparently, he likes hot and heat and dry. And so, so if you know somebody that would enjoy sitting on that committee, I would suggest that is a great opportunity to give some input. It's pretty low stress. I don't recall having any super controversial things go through there. And we're going to advertise for it. There's a process. But if you know somebody that would enjoy some social interaction on and some time on that committee, there'll be two openings. The other thing is that, and I've advised you on this, that the council was looking at the formation of a task force that would specifically look at the management of the rec center and the pool, the recreation component to the Parks and Rec. And they have moved forward, and they have selected a group of individuals, and that group met. And with that, I'd like to turn the discussion over to Ed, because Ed was selected. So Ed is sitting on that task force, and just if you want to have any updates or anything that you want to advise or inform this committee about the goings-ons there.
One of the things when we're preparing is they want us to go out and look at other operations. And to do that, we've got to have the exact same survey questions, or your information's not going to be valid. So they've asked us to come up with 10 questions to ask. And I'd like this committee to give me input. You don't have to give it today, but you can send it to my house. I'm looking at the financial side of it, because every group they listed has a franchise fee. And that's money leaving the community and going. I've already did a little bit of research with some friends of mine in a city near Salem, and they're very disappointed with, and I'll call it what it is, the YMCA, because it seems to be bleeding money from their community to help support the bigger one and the more population. So it's not a win-win for them at all, and they're very agitated with it. So what we need to do is to make sure that our process is very transparent, that everything is the same when the committee goes out and looks, and that's going to be very, very important. I would advise, or request, or whatever you want to say, invite everybody that can to come the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 5:30 until November, and sit in the audience and monitor what's going on. And that ensures that things will be hopefully done properly.
What time did you say?
5:30.
Thursday?
Tuesday.
Where is that?
At City Hall, in the conference room. And I'm not trying to load the deck, but people need to understand, and I'm sorry, my first gut level feeling is some people do not feel the citizenry cares. They sit there, and to me their attitude was improper as far as I'm concerned. And I threw a lot of things out, a lot of things that they tried to challenge, such as our youth program. How can that be when the seniors are outnumbering the youth? That's not what I said. The youth that are here are beginning to use this program more strongly. And we need to continue to offer programs like that. So you can't just cut, cut, cut. You need to look at the whole big picture of the health of the community. And things like, I had some people shaking their head yes, and I had some people shaking their head no on the fact when I said there's a lot of people that this is the only wellness program they can afford. Mm-hmm. And that was a stunning. You look at most communities, what is a community center? It's not really just one thing. It's a cluster of things. And to say the Performing Arts Center is the center is not a true statement. It's the rec center, it's rec and senior center as one, the library, and the performing arts center. You're not going to get everybody attending all of them, but you're going to get a large group attending each one of them. And that's the heart of any community. And you just can't cut that out. And the other thing that was brought up is we need to keep whatever concept we look at to meet the personality of our community. We don't want to bring in something that has a different personality, that does not understand the coastal living, the coastal style, and start coming in like this. So what I would like is any ideas to be passed forward. We're looking at the 10 questions. You can get the agenda. It's on the city website right now for the next meeting. Jim's going to do a presentation on the history. The finance director is going to give a presentation on the finances. Then we're going to be developing the 10 questions for site visitation. And to develop a list of facilities to visit. And so these are what we will be considering this coming Tuesday. Any questions?
Who are the folks that you're targeting to answer the 10 questions? Who will be answering the questions?
All I know right now is what was thrown out. They want us to visit boys clubs, YMCA. Somebody threw out 24-hour fitness. That ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. Goals, because I know what their franchise's fees are. That's 60% of your take right off the top. Mm-hmm. One of the local gyms has said, yeah, I'd like to take it over. That could be a great hello, but unfortunately, we just seen what happened in the last 3 years, and this may sound strange, but Tillamook Cheese bought out Bandon Cheese Factory, let it run for 6 months, and then closed it to eliminate competition. And finally, the building, because no occupants, they just tore it down.
And that loses tax revenue. And that's my problem with the whole concept, is they think they're saving money and it's cost saving. And generally these things come in, the first thing they do is they hire minimum wage workers, they offer no health insurance, they don't give them enough hours so that they can support their families, so it maybe gets it out of the city Parks and Rec budget, but what happens is these people need low-income housing, they need the Oregon Trail card, they need the Oregon Health card, and it contributes to poverty in the community. And, you know, people here at least have a fighting chance at survival, and they don't under a situation like this. Plus, privatization is kind of notorious for taking something, sucking all the money out of it, letting it run down, and when it's ready to collapse, then they turn it back to the owner. and you're stuck with a bill of bringing it back up to standard or closing it. And that's just, that's kind of the track record of privatization. And I hate to see a facility like this go down the toilet, basically.
Well, they're forgetting it was brought to the city by the citizenry, voted on by the citizenry. They're overlooking another thing. They say we're not even 10,000 people. They're not counting. When you have over 100,000 people a week come through here at a minimum 9 to 10 months a year, there's a lot of things we can do to tag that. And they got to look at it to allow that type of outreach. And how much membership? I know several people who live here during the summer, during our summer and go home during our winter to another state, which is warm. And they have memberships. And you just can't throw that out the window. It's not counting. It's just like some people saying, that's just work. We need jobs. You know? So there's a whole lot of things we need to balance and look at to show how this affects our community and really pull together a good picture of it. Now, I've talked to some people, and a lot of people have been talking to me, and I already had some input on the swimming pool. But man, I had an avid swimmer just unload on me about the fact when the YMCA, as far as they're concerned, the YMCA took the money and ran and let the pool literally rot out. And so that's a mistake I don't want to see the city make again. So our group, if you get information and people want to get jot it down, send it to them. Because they need to hear that there's other people that really are looking.
What I see from having lived here, 25 years, I moved here at the time when the PAC was just being built and finished. And the same sorts of arguments and some of the same people are concerned for the very same reasons. This is a facility that the city will never be able to use. You're never going to be able to fill these seats. This is a big boondoggle, a waste of money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And worked against a lot of negative. Now I don't think you can talk to anyone who doesn't see the Performing Arts Center as this gem.
But management of that is contracted out.
But through the OCCA, yes. So but that is a distinction that is really bordered in these people's minds. People do not see OCCA.
Right. But we know that.
Yeah.
So it's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah. And it's seen more as a community. Yeah.
I know Portland's a bigger city, more population, but when they built the big convention center,
yes.
Oh Lord, you thought the end of the world came,
right?
And everybody was screaming and yelling, and just because it's on paper doesn't mean it's going to happen. Meaning, one of the selling points is they did it right. They had the first 5 years booked on paper. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody kept saying it's a white elephant, white elephant. It has succeeded beyond expectations of what it can provide for the city, to the point they're having to build hotels up around it to support. Mm-hmm. And what brought that to light was, believe it or not, the big square dance world championship. And they wanted to hold it in Portland, Oregon, because of the beauty and all of it. Unfortunately, there wasn't enough hotels, so they took all the hotels from Seattle all the way down to Medford. Wow. And they had to set up sub areas for dancing, so the finals, semi and finals were in Portland. They still had it. It really spread the bucks up and down, but so many now are saying, unless you get more hotels. So one thing leads to the other. Hmm. It takes time. It did not happen overnight. It took over 10, 15 years for that to fully develop and what it did. Now they're expanding. So, you know, we need to have, instead of little short-term plans and time limits, we need to start looking at 10 years down the road or more, because that's the only way anything's going to grow.
Well,
nothing's going to happen overnight. It's going to take that long to do. And I just feel that we'd be letting down our citizenry if this whole format changes.
Well, I think that's what the task force needs to come to the... They need to work the exercise. They need to go through and look and draw some conclusions, and those conclusions will be passed on to council, and then council will be sitting in a place of a position to direct staff to whatever that would be. So we're in it. It's happening. And, you know, it's probably healthy, although it's scary and it almost feels uncomfortable. But if the city's not looking at all of their operations and everything that's going on, then maybe as a city we're not being responsible. So,
kind of that's what I was going to say, because
kind of look at the bright side of this one.
I worked for the state for many years, and they have a program that 1/4 of the workforce is looked at each quarter. And the agency I worked for, we went through 4 reviews. Some agencies got slimmed down, others were expanded, others were eliminated. And it's heart-wrenching, but it makes for a better operation because you keep it up to date. And I think if the city wants to do this with parks and stuff, they should look at all the departments, not accusing anybody of anything. Mm-hmm. Is there a better mousetrap? Is it working better? What can we do to improve? What can we eliminate? To me, what's astounding is we still have, on the federal government side, over 350 employees who do wooden prop inspections. Those can be eliminated. But we got to get over the fact, no, because my state builds the props, we don't want to get rid of that program. So this is where the citizens need to really step up and say, no, this will benefit us if we eliminate that and make this way. So our voices can be heard in a very positive fashion.
I think what you said was very powerful, and I wanted to tell you that, was about the kids that use it. That's the best gang deterrent. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that you said I thought was very powerful is that the community, we have a certain look to be. And it's that way because it's kind of gerrymandered to get it this way. And you want to lose that.
Yeah, there's definitely
those
a personality.
Those were powerful things.
Yeah, there's a personality in this town.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Okay, well, under other, the last thing, which I wasn't even going to say, but I'm going to anyways, is that I just want to thank you all for 6 good years. This is my anniversary month.
Oh, wow.
And I know that that a good handful of you were here for my first go at this 6 years ago.
Oh.
And I think I'm accurate in that I have not missed a single monthly advisory meeting in 6 years.
You're not taking enough vacation time then.
I took a vacation this year. So,
well,
thank you all for all
much.
That you do.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
I recognize it's a commitment of your time, and sometimes it's, gets a little bit boring, or it gets exciting, or it gets whatever. But but you keep coming, and you keep coming, and I keep appreciating it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else? If not, we are adjourned at 9:26.
All righty. Thank you all.
Thank you.
We don't need a motion for that.